Hey guys, this is Erin Nicole
and Janae Antoinette,
and we are Grief AF.
No, we are Grief as Fuck. Welcome back to Grief AF Podcast. It's your girl Janae Antoinette and
Erin Nicole,
and today's topic is unhealthy AF.
Yes. And we are diving deep into the difficulties of trying to stay healthy while you're grieving.
And y'all, it's been hard.
A struggle.
Very difficult. Any other words that I can't think of some synonyms?
Let's think. Right, let's drop some synonyms.
But you guys, it's definitely been a struggle. And this is something that we wanted to talk about because we are approaching the holidays and Thanksgiving and just everything. And I know from experience, now I can say experience. I feel like I can say experience. But I know while grieving, I have been very, very, I find myself being a emotional eater times 10 because I was already an emotional eater.
Right.
What about you?
Yeah. Funny thing is, I remember the first time I heard of emotional eating. I didn't even know it was a such thing. I just knew that I did it. But I didn't know it was a such thing. But the first time I heard it, I think Janet Jackson was on the Tyra show. It's a throwback. She was on the Tyra show and they were having a conversation. It might have been after Michael Jackson passed away. Mm-hmm. I just remember her talking, having a conversation, and she was like, yeah, like, I gained all this weight. And she was like, because I'm an emotional eater. And Tyra was like, oh my God, me too. And I was like, there's a such thing. And baby, let me tell you, being in this grieving process, I definitely, like you said, times 10, it came on strong.
Yeah. So I definitely can say that since my mom passed away, I've gained so much weight. Mm-hmm. I'm probably my heaviest that I've ever been. Mm-hmm. And I know people who say, you know, when I was grieving, I lost all this weight. And I'm not going to say I wish that was my story, but I kind of wish that was my story. Because it's been really a struggle to try to stay healthy and motivated to eat right while grieving. So
yeah, I think the reality of it is you go through so many emotions while grieving, and it's very inconsistent. Everything about grief is inconsistent. You wake up some days, you are highly motivated to go work out or whatever. And then the next day, it's like you want to stay in bed and eat everything you see in sight. So it's just like, because of it being so inconsistent, I feel like my weight is inconsistent. So for me, it's been I think now I'm maintaining a weight. But prior to a few months ago, I definitely can say that I was my heaviest probably between October of last year and December. And it just has been super hard to find reasons to want to get better, like want to lose weight. Like even when I actually want to, it's hard to find the motivation. I'll say that.
Yeah, it's been tough because before my mom passed, I had started back working out. I was working out with a personal trainer out in Houston who's awesome, she's a beast. And I was working out with her, but then before Houston, I was working out as well. So pretty much my background is in fitness. Like I loved working out. It was therapeutic for me. I felt my best and I was my happiest when I worked out. So once my mom passed, that whole desire to work out went out the window. And I remember making a post on my social media that said, what once motivated me to stay motivated is not motivating me to get back motivated. I know that sounds a little complex, but I'm going to say it again real slow. What once motivated me to stay motivated is not motivating me to get back motivated. And I just remember one day going to the gym with a friend after probably a few months after my mom passed, and I went to the gym and I cried. I was in the gym crying, and I remember her asking me, "What are you crying for?" Mm-hmm. And I said, "I'm crying because I feel like this is a manifestation of how I'm feeling." Mm-hmm. Like I was at the bench and I was trying to lift this weight. What was once easy for me to lift has become so heavy. Mm-hmm. And I remember just trying to push this weight off of me, off my chest on this bench press. And I was like, just tears was coming down my face because I was just like, this is how I feel in real life.
Right.
I have all these emotions and I don't know how to lift it off of me, even though I was once
able to.
Like, even with my emotions and stuff and handling my emotions and handling my cravings and everything, this was something that I had mastered. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, here I am starting all over.
Right.
And it definitely took a toll on me with eating, because right after the gym, I would go eat some French fries.
Yeah.
And I felt good.
But well, the difference between me and Janae, and most of you guys know if you know us personally, is I hate working out. So for me, it's hard because it's just like, I really never was motivated to go to the gym. And now, on top of me, now I really am not motivated, because it's just like, I don't like it. And on top of not liking it, now I'm dealing with emotions of just not wanting to do stuff and not really caring. At this point, I could say that I care, but I don't care. It's weird. That's just a part of grief. But for you, it's completely different because, like she said, she comes from this fitness background. Like, that's what I've watched her. Janae has been one of the people who she could say, I want to lose 10 pounds by my birthday. And it'll be in like 3 weeks and she'll be able to work out. I'm not even talking about diet pills. And like, she'll be able to work out and boom, drop that weight. But to see her go from that to, it's been a struggle. It's a real life struggle, not only for me, but for her. And it's just like, it hurts to see that. And it's frustrating to not only have to deal with all the emotions that come with grief already, like the depression, the anxiety, just the pain and the hurt that you feel from that, but to even add on, like, now you mean to tell me now I can't freaking control my weight?
Yeah, and not only that, it's like you're beginning to lose confidence. Mm-hmm. Like with me, you know, because of grief, I end up becoming like, you know, less confident. Yeah. You know, I'm not confident.
Self-conscious.
I'm self-conscious because I'm the heaviest I've ever been. Mm-hmm. And some people be like, oh, you look cute with weight. And it's just like, I never said I was ugly.
Period.
Okay, let's get
that. Let's start there.
I never said, oh, I'm ugly.
I said, I need to lose weight.
I said, and it has nothing against anybody, but what I'm comfortable with and what I've always been comfortable with was having an athletic body and always being lean and toned. So when I look in the mirror and I don't see that no more, I'm like, who is this person? Yeah. So I'm going through so much of my emotions even and being unhealthy. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually going to tell you guys a story. So because being unhealthy is not even just with just working out. Mm-hmm. It's about emotions, being able to handle your emotions, your mental state, being able to, you know, just heal. And, you know, this overall mind, body, and soul.
Right.
So speaking of being unhealthy, I want to say the beginning of this year, like around maybe February, it was probably around February, I was having like these really bad chest pains and stuff like that. And so I have sports-induced asthma. So I was just like, okay, these are just like, you know, asthma attacks or whatever. So I'm going to still go to the doctor to get a checkup. And so I make an appointment and I remember, like, first off, I cried all the way to the appointment because, again, I'm 29, but still, I used to call my mom about everything.
Including doctor appointments.
Like, mama, when was the last time I got this done? Okay. You know, but it was just an emotional drive to the doctor. And I remember going there and, you know, getting everything. When I tell you, I had them do everything on me. I had them check for everything because so much was tied into becoming, you know, with the death of my mom and beginning to feel unhealthy, I was scared. Because the way she passed away was just suddenly. Mm-hmm. No call, no, like, she just died suddenly. So I was scared, like, what if I'm feeling this way? My chest is, like, feeling this way. Like, what if I just die suddenly? And so I was just like, I need to go to the doctor. That's what really led me to go to the doctor, because I was just scared of suddenly passing away, like, you know. So when I get there, I get everything checked. The doctor comes in. I got blood work done, physical, everything that you could think of. I got done that day. So when the doctor come back, he's like, okay, everything came back negative. And I was like, great. I'm glad everything's good. And he said, however. And I was just like looking like, okay. He said, you are like 1 point from being pre-diabetic. And I was like, I just remember sitting on the table looking at him and like, I said, wait, what do you mean? Like, what is that? Again, guys, you have to remember, I have never been, at this point, I have never been this heavy. I've never, every time I go to the doctor, it's clean. They're like, you're healthy. Keep doing what you're doing. That's always been what doctors has told me. Keep doing what you're doing. So here it is. I'm sitting down, and this doctor is telling me that I'm pretty much, this is what he said. You're 1 point from pre-diabetic. I guess I could just say pretty much you're pre-diabetic. And I was like, oh, thanks, doctor. And I was just like, so what does that mean? Like I don't, I still didn't get it. And I, you know, he told me everything. He said, you need to change the way you're eating. You need to exercise. He pretty much told me everything that I was doing before my mom passed, which had become a struggle for me to do. And he said, and whatever you do, try not to stress. and I remember looking at him and I said, Doc, I said, my whole life is stressful right now. I said, I just lost my mom. I said, I don't know how not to be stressful right now. I don't know how not to eat right now. Like, so you're telling me everything that I need to do is pretty much going to be hard as hell because I'm grieving. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, on top of this, I'm hearing the doctor tell me this news and I leave up out of there like, whew, how do I get back to where I was? Mm-hmm. And that was in February. And I can honestly say that it still has been a up and down with my consistency of working out and eating right.
Right.
I've gotten better, but it's still hard because I still haven't been to the gym or done anything really what the doctor has told me, which is not good, but it's hard.
It's a testament to the fact that grief has no boundaries. Mm-hmm. Grief doesn't have any boundaries. So even though he's saying, yeah, you're pre-diabetic, I don't want to give grief so much power, but at the end of the day, it's hard. Grief is the most, like, just life-altering thing. So it's just like for you to tell me, like, to not do all this stuff or to start doing all this stuff, it's just like, yeah, that sounds good. It's easier said than done, though. Like, yeah. It's way easier said than done.
Yeah, so that's been, for the pretty much this year, it really has been a struggle. And I've been hard on myself, but I can honestly say probably like a couple of days ago, I looked in the mirror and I was just like, this is who you are right now. This is how you look right now. Guess what? You're still here.
Yeah.
In the midst of everything that's going on, you're still here. You're still alive and you still have a desire to get healthy.
Exactly.
You know, and I think me just saying that and actually looking at myself, because I couldn't look at myself in the mirror. I would get out the shower and go straight out.
Straight out, yeah.
I wouldn't even dare look to the left at the mirror because I was just like, I don't know who that is. And that's too much of me gone. Like, I don't know who I am. Like, I'm trying to figure out who I am without my mother. Mm-hmm. And now I'm trying to figure out
who I am. As this person.
With this weight on. Mm-hmm. So it's been difficult. But I believe that it's going to get better.
Yeah, I think it will get better. And I think it's just a matter of really pushing yourself. Like, and again, that is easier said than done. But I think we have both been getting to a point where we're like, okay, like we're taking baby steps. I'll say that. We're taking baby steps.
We've been taking baby steps since you guys, many of you probably have heard of the keto diet. Mm-hmm. Y'all, me and Aaron have been on the keto since
for damn near 7 months.
Yeah, and we haven't made it to ketosis
like,
yet.
It's not happening for us. And you want to know why? Because we're emotionally eating.
And like, we love bread.
And so here's the thing. If we're just being completely real, like, we'll start it. We'll start the keto and, like, get a day in. And then we're back to, like, craving something. And it's just like, at this point, because I can't control anything else in my life, I feel good knowing that I can control what I want to eat. And mm-hmm. if I'm being quite honest, I've always been a foodie anyway. And at this point, I guess I'm utilizing food to make me feel better in the moment. Mm-hmm. Because I like the fact that, oh, you know what? I'm craving Culver's today, and I can go and get me some Culver's. And that'll be the highlight of my day, because I can't be like, oh, like, nothing else is really going to make me happy at this point. Like I said, so it's just more so I think that because I can control that aspect, that's been the reason why I've maintained the weight that I've maintained. And the moment that I feel like we get out of the aspect of just...
Of planning.
Yeah.
I think when we fail to plan, we're planning to fail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's been our biggest thing. But we are motivated to reach a point of where we get this weight off of us.
But I want to, I really want to encourage, you know, whoever's listening who's going through this as well, that don't rush it.
Right.
Because sooner or later you're going to have to look and say, hey, I'm giving myself this time. Mm-hmm. But after this, I can't do this no more. Like, I have to get it together.
Yeah.
And find a support group, mm-hmm. find some people who will help you through the process of helping you, you know, you get back into the swing of things. A friend of mine, who's the trainer that I was working out with in Houston, I remember on my birthday calling her, and I was just like, saw some of her posts, and I was just like, oh, I'm going to call her again because I need to start working out again. I'm going to see if she can, like, train me, mm-hmm. you know, online or something. And between her and another friend of mine, they both told me, like, it was just, like, confirmation. They both said, Nay, you just need to get up and start moving. Mm-hmm. And I remember my friend Andrea, she was like, you don't need to go into the gym and go lift weights like how you used to.
And go hard.
And go hard like how you used to. You don't need to go and do cardio right away. She was like, you don't need to go into the gym and have a plan. She was like, if you wake up in the morning and just decide that you want to go in the gym and run, do that. Or if you just want to lift weights, do that. She was like, but I really think that you should just actually get back into yoga.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing is, you have to find what works best for you. Because not everybody's body is the same. Not everybody's emotions are the same. Like, there's a lot that goes into it. So you have to figure out, like I said, the baby steps. What baby steps are going to work for you? What big steps are going to work for you? For me, I noticed that when we were doing intermittent fasting, is that how you say it? Mm-hmm. When we were doing that, that works. It wasn't that hard to start eating at 12 and cut it off at 8. That worked for me. And we saw that we were losing weight that way.
Yeah.
We were slowly losing like a pound a day. And I'm like...
But we were actually doing a mile a day, too.
You were doing a mile a day. She was doing a mile a day. I'm very inconsistent, like I said, already with working out. But there were days where I just would wake up and be like, I cannot get out of the bed. Like, I just can't do it. And I'd be like, okay, Janae, you go get that mal in. I'm going to just stick to this fasting. Like, because the fasting really did work for me. And so I think it's all about making sure you're not looking at how somebody else is grieving and how they're losing weight or how they're whatever. They're back in the gym already or, they're back to doing this. It's just like, don't look at that. Look more so as far as, okay, what can I do to progress myself?
Yeah, back into that lifestyle.
Yeah.
Like I said, once my friend told me, like, get back into yoga. I had already started going to yoga, but I kind of was like, you know what? She's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yoga's good for me right now. Yeah. So I love going to yoga. I even had Erin come to yoga with me a few times.
Which was interesting.
And she did good. We did hot vinyasa. It was a hot yoga class. And Erin, she held it down.
And what I will say about yoga, if anybody has been on the fence about it, what I will say is, although I wasn't, I feel like I actually did keep up. But I felt like that was the most relaxing thing that I've probably ever done since the passing of my mom was to do yoga. That was probably the best decision I made, was to like not let myself get in my way. And I just was like, when she asked that, at first I made a face, but then I was like, no, I'm gonna go. And that was, like I said, the most relaxing time that I had and some of the best sleep I've ever gotten in my life afterwards. So I think that if that's something like you're kind of considering, I would definitely suggest doing that.
Yeah, because it not only yoga has and is teaching me how to kind of just let go.
Mm-hmm.
And just like let go of all the control. You can't control it.
Right.
I cry so much in yoga. So now, like, I cry because sometimes they say I'm laying on a mat and they're like, okay, whatever you're thinking, release it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Acknowledge it and let it go. You can't control it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just certain things that they're just even speaking and, you know, and the affirmations that they, you know, that they're saying, sometimes it's just, it just makes me cry.
Yeah.
I just be on the, and I just cry. I cry for my mother. I cry for my family while I'm out there. But I feel good.
Mm-hmm.
I feel good. And I'm moving. I find, like, after a couple of weeks, I see that my strength is coming back.
Mm-hmm.
My eating habits are changing.
Yeah.
And then I just have a bad day, and then I just go down. And just go eat.
But you do...
But I
pick yourself back up eventually.
Yeah, I pick myself back up.
Because I don't want people
up.
To be like, so there's no hope.
No, guys, there is hope. There is hope. And we want to say there is hope. And to prove that there is hope, we're actually, me and my sister have
A challenge
for each other.
Yeah. So we decided, we're just be coming up with stuff, honestly, y'all. And it really does happen by us communicating.
Yeah.
And us just talking out our frustrations, talking out our emotions, and just being honest and transparent with each other. And we both have been battling with the fact that we cannot lose weight and that we're emotional eaters. And we decided to, like, hey, let's come up with this challenge. So we are going to be doing the 20 by 20.
Yeah. Okay. So the 20 by 20 is, who came up with, did I come up with that?
You came up with it. Okay. I came up with the name because you was trying to name it something else. I can't even remember.
Yeah, but it's the 20 by 20, and it's going to be to lose 20 pounds by 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have a calendar in front of me, but it's okay. We're going to make sure that we, you know, just show our, you know, show the
our journey
through starting a 20 by 20. So we'll be very transparent. We'll give our weight. We'll post pictures and stuff on Instagram and just show, like,
our progress.
And hopefully, no, not hopefully. But by 2020, we'll be down 20 pounds.
And this is open to anybody who wants to do it. No pressure. but I do think it is good to have accountability partners.
Most definitely.
It's definitely better to do it with somebody than to do it alone because, listen, you'll fall off that wagon and then you have nobody to pick you back up. So, which is why we want to open it up to you guys. If you want to join, we'll be posting, of course, about it on our social media so that you can kind of tag along with us. And we'll have more details on the 20 for 20 as we kind of get everything together as far as like what exercise we'll do, exercise tips. Maybe posting some meal plans. If you're listening to this episode and you have any requests that you would want out of this challenge, just make sure you hit us up on our social media and we can kind of try to incorporate that in somehow. But we really just wanted to do this not only for ourselves, but for our communities to just be able to kind of join and get some motivation. We know it's hard. We are experiencing it firsthand. So we want to be able to kind of just do something together.
Yeah, so we want to go from unhealthy AF
to healthy AF.
Okay.
No. I'm trying to be snatched in 2020. Thanks for listening to Grief AF Podcast. Make sure you guys follow us on IG and Twitter at grief_AF. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube, Grief AF, period.